Now this morning, we are going to look at Ezekiel chapter 37. Title of the message, Can These Bones Live? Can a sinner live again? I believe it was Job that said, If a man die, shall he live again? Let us look at that this morning. He says in verse 1, and he starts with the preacher. In verse 1, Ezekiel says, The hand of the Lord was upon me. Paul said, Who is sufficient for these things? But God is our sufficiency. No man is sufficient for handling eternal matters. But God is our sufficiency. No amount of formal education can make us sufficient. The ability to rightly divide the word and to preach it in power is of God. Now he says, He carried me out in the spirit and set me down in the midst of the valley which was full of bones. He carried me. Christ is our strength and His service. He carries. He must strengthen. He must direct us where to preach the gospel. He appoints the place, the time, and the service. He set me down, he says, in the valley of dry bones. This does not look like a place for a tent meeting, does it? Who would hold a tent meeting in a graveyard? Our natural tendency is to look at the well-watered plains of Jordan. Why the tri-state area and not New York City, where 8 million people live? I'll tell you why, because the Lord sends His preachers where His sheep are. This valley of bones are my people, even though they don't look like it yet. He calls me to pass by them, he says in verse 2, round about, just as Moses took that serpent of brass on the pole and passed round about the people. They could not pass by him. They were dead. Here is a marvel of grace that God would pass by, that God would come into the midst of such a people, that God would look upon dead, depraved people like me and you. There's nothing attractive in this scene, is there? There's nothing attractive about God's people here in this valley. Behold, he says, they were very many in the open valley, and they were very dry. They were very dead. One thing is for sure, whatever went on here, they lost. They lost. You don't have to be overly intelligent to see they lost the battle. If we will give a serious look at human nature and human history, it'll become evident we lost. When Adam met Satan in the garden, he lost. When that happened, we lost. We lost the way to God, the truth of God, and the life of God. All was lost in Adam. Nothing left. This earth is one big graveyard. There's not an inch of this earth that something has not died on it. Now he says here they were very dry, very dead. It has been that way now for a long time. No sign of spiritual life at all. No spiritual intelligence, which is the only intelligence that really matters. Dead. The image of God erased. You could write Ichabod over this valley. The glory has departed. Unless God does something, it's not coming back. The glory of this people was the image of God. It was a likeness of their Creator. But sin has taken it away. Very dry. No moisture. No marrow left in the bones. All life and strength is gone. Scripture says, None seeketh after God, no, not one. And he said to me, God must speak to the preacher first. If God does not speak to me first, then I don't need to be speaking to you. Our warrant for preaching is, Thus saith the Lord. He gives us our message and the people to preach it to. And God asked the preacher a question. He says, Son of man, can these bones live? He starts with his preacher first. If the preacher does not get it right, the people will not get it right. Can these bones possess life again? Can sinners live again? Can sinners ever worship God again? Can they sing again? Can they ever know God again? Can the image of God be restored to these dead bones? And the preacher gave a wise answer. And I answered, Lord God, thou knowest. Only God can give the answer to this question. Only God can give life, and if He's pleased to do so, then these bones can live again. Again, He said unto me, Prophesy there in verse 4 upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. The first command God gives is to preach unto them. It says in Corinthians, It hath pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. He commands Ezekiel to preach to them and tell them to hear the word of the Lord. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of the Lord. The first thing God commands is for His word to be preached and heard. It is God who commands the hearing ear and the seeing eye of faith. By faith we hear not only the written word of God preached, but the living word, the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we hear Him, when we hear the Lord, we hear life, and He commands life, and we live. And God tells them what He's going to do for them. He's not saying, tell them to do something for me. He says, I'm going to do something for them. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. I will lay sinews upon you, and bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live. And you shall know that I am the Lord. God tells us in His Word what He's going to do for us, what He's going to do for us and has done for us in Christ. He has given His people all heavenly blessings in Him. He has justified them in Christ. He has given them forgiveness in Christ. He's made them new creatures in Christ. That's what He's done for His people. And who are His people? Everyone believes God. Everyone who truly believes this gospel, not a gospel, not another gospel, but this gospel of the Christ alone, the Scriptures alone, grace alone. What He's saying here is this, salvations of the Lord. He purposed to save these bones, and He tells them that He is going to give them life and all that pertains to it. God has given us in Christ, He's given every believer in Christ life from the dead, and all that they need they have in Christ, nothing lacking. He is their wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Our Lord said, because I live, ye shall live also. So what does Ezekiel do in verse 7? He said, so I preached as I was commanded. He did not question the wisdom of God or the power of God. He preached. He did not try to get these bones to do something or to accept something or to accept someone. He preached. God will bless His word and nothing else. Ezekiel did not try to put the bones together. He would have messed that up. He would have put the wrong bone with the wrong body. Only the great physician could put it back together. This is God's work, not ours. We just preach. So I preached as I was commanded. And there was a voice, a noise. And behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Listen, when I did as I was commanded, things began to happen. God began to save. He began to do what He said He would do. There was a noise. There was a voice. God speaking. God is commanding life. A new creation is happening. A new man is being made. And there was a shaking. All false hopes are being shaken off. The dust of death is being shaken off. The bones came together. That which was scattered in the battle is being brought back together and becoming one again. Scripture says that we are one in Christ. This shaking is still going on. And one day the last bone will be placed in the body of Christ. And the body will be complete. All the signs of life are there. And the smell of death is gone. But wait, it says there's no breath in them. Until this happens, they are still dead. A man is not saved until he has the Spirit of God in him. Until he is quickened and given life by the Spirit of God, he's still dead. Christ in you, the Scripture says, is the hope of glory. If the gospel comes to you in word only, you may look like you have life, but you don't. Not until God does a work of grace in you, not until God gives you life from the dead, are you alive. Then he said unto me, preach unto the wind. And we know that the wind represents the Spirit of God. Preach to the wind, preach, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain that they may live. The whole work is of God. Not at any point did they contribute to the work. The preacher is told to call upon the Spirit of God to come and give life to these dead bodies, these dead souls. Ezekiel did not tell those bones to do something for God, but for God to do something for them. We need God to do something for us in mercy and grace, or we perish. So I preached as I was commanded. The obedience is priceless. And the breath came unto them, and they lived, just as He said they would. Nothing is impossible with God. Life is His to give if He will. He quickens whom He will. Saving a sinner is not a challenge to God. It's not a challenge to God. It's a matter of His will. That's right. You and I are in the hands of the sovereign God of heaven and earth. And He will do with us as He will. I ask Him for mercy. I'm begging for mercy. I don't know about you, but that's what I want. Now listen, verse 10. And they stood upon their feet, an exceeding great army. They did as they were commanded. He said, stand up. And they stood up. And what a great army. And these bones, he said, are my elect. And they say, we are sinful. There is no hope for us. You look over in Ezekiel 36, chapter 36 and verse 31 sometime. Repentance. That's what's going on here. Repentance. Not until we have life do we have repentance. Repentance does not give life. It's the evidence of life. Isaiah said, woe is me. Paul said, O wretched man that I am. This is the cry of a saved man. This is the cry of a man who's been given life. And here's good news. Good news comes now. Tell them, instruct them, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and bring you out in the land of Israel. The land that I promised to your fathers. Death hath no more dominion over you, for sin has no more dominion over you. You are not under the law, but you're under the grace of God. The law has been satisfied by Jesus Christ. And in Him, I'm under the grace of God. I'm not under law. God's going to bring His Israel, His true Israel, which are all those who believe. He's going to bring them into the promised land, into glory, when this is all over with. And you're going to know, He says, that I am the Lord. This is what you're going to know when all this is over with. You're going to know that I am the Lord. God shall save us in such a way that we will know that He is the Lord. And beside Him, there's none else. We won't have any of these false idols. We won't be having all these pictures hanging on the wall and calling it Jesus. We won't have all that foolishness. We will know who the Lord is. In verse 14, I shall put my spirit in you, and you shall live, and I shall place you in your own land. Then shall you know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord. When God puts His spirit in you, then shall you live, and you will know that God is faithful to His word. He will perform that which He has spoken. You'll know, He said, that I have performed this. You will know that I am the one who has saved you from Alpha to Omega. As the song goes, not until then shall we know how much we owe. Not until we stand in His presence, fully complete, fully redeemed, body, soul, and spirit, shall we know how much we owe. May God bless His word.